Hello again. This is Dr. Bobby Adams, Pastor Berea Baptist Church. And this is the Berea Baptist Bible Institute. We're currently in our last session here dealing with the brief history of the English Bible, meaning the King James Bible. Well, we come now on our list to Roman numeral 6. That is correct scripture. Correct scripture. So while the Greek transmission of the scriptures was going in one direction, the Gothic translation, later called German or culminated in the German language, as well as the English language, went another way altogether. What's called the Peshitto is a Syriac. It's Syrian for common, about 150 A.D., along with the Old Latin called the Itala. In 157 A.D. began to go out. Again, that was in Latin. It's called Vulgate because of the vulgar tongue of the people around this time, and it just means common. So Jerome's Latin Vulgate was written somewhere, like I said, some time ago, meaning in the previous session, that it was around the 4th century, around 380 A.D., which brings us to the English Bible. And that begins with the Gothic Bible, written somewhere around 350 A.D. by Ulfilas. Ulfilas. Later, also called Little Wolf. We are only studying the English Bible. We're not studying Greek and we're not studying Hebrew. Waite, Dr. Donald Waite, in his book, The Fourfold Superiority of the King James Bible, said that the received text, or the correct text, was circulating nearly everywhere. On pages 45 to 48 of his book, he lists 37 historical evidences supporting the Textus Receptus. See, God uses not only the Greek that culminates in translating the King James Bible, but also the English coming right on up. Isn't that pretty neat? Twofold cord, hard to break. So he lists from 100 A.D. to 312 A.D. You have the 45 corrupt texts that disagree with the Textus Receptus originated. This was a period of wrestling against many heresies and heretics that developed to devote their time against the Bible. And they have all of their heresies. But there was this period of wrestling against many heresies and heretics that developed their own Bible to support their heresies. And these oldest readings, these oldest Bibles, they're heresies written by heretics. And so the oldest is not necessarily the best. Like one fellow said that, stating that John Wycliffe Bible, as great as it was and God used it in its day, you wouldn't say just because that's older than the King James, 1611, that it's better than the King James. It's not. Anyway, so the church rejected these variant texts and they fell into disuse, whereas the TR continued on its text, in the Christian church. During this time, according to Waite, the Peshitta Syriac version, 150 A.D., was based on the received text. Papyrus number 75 used the received text. That underlies King James Bible now. The Italic church in northern Italy, 157 A.D., used the received text. The Gaelic church of southern France, 177 A.D., used the received text. The Celtic church in Great Britain used the received text. The church of Scotland and Ireland used the received text. The pre-Waldensian churches used the received text. The Waldensians in 120 A.D. and onward used the received text. The first English Bible was the Gothic Bible of the New Testament, was written around 350 A.D., translated from the Greek Byzantine text of the New Testament, Saul. The Gothic Bible was based, too, on the received text. Now, both the correct text and the Gothic and the Gothic and the received text. And the corrupted text came alongside. They come from Antioch of Syria, or they come from Alexandrian Egypt. The corrupt text comes from Alexandria, while the correct text comes from and out of Antioch of Syria. So the Gothic Bible had its roots right there in Antioch of Syria. But they both came side by side down through history. That's one of the critical once a critical text came into existence. Now, according to Bentley, however, there's no record that Vaticanus existed, Greek manuscript, before 1475. It was found in the Vatican Library in Rome and never influenced or bothered anybody. And according to also to Bentley and a fellow by the name of Birdsall, the dating method of manuscripts such as Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, all developed by Roman Catholics for one purpose, and that is to overthrow the Protestant Reformation. But anyway, Vaticanus is a 4th century manuscript, they say. It could be, but it had no bearing on the text either way. Further, these men said the dating method was invented by two Jesuit Catholic monks to counter, as I said, the Protestant Reformation. While this was going on, the Word of God in English began with the Gothic Bible. This the information that comes from Stephen Schutt. The history of the English Bible must be documented from old Bibles, their texts, prologues, eyewitness reports, or histories of great Christians and translators, and even the martyrs. A scientific study of English begins with a study of the Gothic Bible. The first dramatic Bible, as we mentioned last session, by G.H. Balg, B-A-L-G. Riplinger says that Gothic was a major world language spoken at the time of Christ, and 300 years before Christ it was spoken, 300 B.C. About the middle of the 2nd century, A.D. 150, in the early centuries of A.D., the Goths swept southeastward across Europe to the Black Sea. God drew them from Scandinavia to Scythia, modern Romania, and Bulgaria. To do what? To meet the recently completed New Testament text halfway. The Goths migrated into Scythia and became part of the barbarian Scythians that Paul mentions in Colossians 3 and verse number 11. And at this time, a vast number of Goths were Christians, their conversions having been affected by those whom they carried into captivity. Missionaries were there. A large part of the nation became Christian at this time. Encyclopedia Britannica says some of this. During the Cambridge History of the Bible, the Bible Through the Ages says, during the preceding century, Christianity had been planted sporadically among the Goths beyond the Danube River, found in Armenia, or Hungary today, through the agency in part of Christian captives and in part of merchants and traders. The Goths were acquainted with Christianity before Ulfilas through missionary work done there in their territory. And by this fellow, Ulfilas' time, the Visigoths, West Goths, were aware of Christianity, not only because of their own captivities, but through the missionaries, as we already said, came and preached among them. The Goths had got their Bible firsthand. So the possibility of the original Greek exist translated in English. Isn't that amazing? The Goths moved as far as Ephesus in the middle of the 3rd century. They quartered in Thessalonica in 390. And formed the backbone, some of them did, of the Roman army. Grandparents of Ulfilas Philostorgias were converted. They were dwellers where? In Cappadocia. And where have you heard that? And they received the gift of languages. So Acts 2 verse 9 is where you heard it. So his grandparents were direct converts, strangers scattered throughout Cappadocia, 1 Peter 1 verse 1. So these Cappadocians were the hearers of Peter's first sermon and in Christian and its Christian residents among the readers of his first epistles. It's awesome how God's word fits with history. Ulfilas worked as a reader of the scripture in Constantinople, a town crowning the sea of Marmara above the very center that those cities received Paul's visits and his letters. The word order of the Greek text rigidly determined that of the Gothic version. Why? Well, because the translators of the Greek Gospels into Gothic, therefore, the unit of translation was neither the sentence nor the phrase, but it was the word. The Gothic Codex Argenteus represents a Byzantine text. It's the best existing exemplar of the Gothic text. Erasmus, many have heard of him, had easily access to it at what is called the Abbey of Werden on the Rur, R-U-H-R, river in West Philalia, just 80 miles from his back porch in Holland. Even Catholic cardinals, Granvella's secretary, Antonius Marillan, record seeing the Gothic Bible in Werden not many years after Erasmus died and passed off the scene. Codex Carolinus would have been available to Erasmus, and which was just east of the frequent visited Rhine River travels, this Abbey of Weissenberg. Anyway, Codex, having these writings in the Codex form, Ambrosiani was housed in the monastery there, and so it was all available. All available. The Gothic language spread over Europe and the northeast coast of Africa. The Goths remained in Spain until the 8th century. Metzger tells us that the writer of the 9th century, Strabo, wrote that the Gothic Bible was still around. The Scythians mentioned in Paul's writings up to the 16th century after the King James Bible. Now, we've got to move quickly. So we move from the Gothic language, which was Old English, by the way, to other Old English Bibles, which was or were the Anglo-Saxons. So we need to explore that, bring up, and brings us up to the Middle English, John Wycliffe, in the 1300s. So here's a general list. From the Gothic, the Apostles to 500 AD, Anglo-Saxon, 500 AD to 1000 AD, the pre-Wycliffe, AD 1000 to AD 1400, Tyndale, Coverdale, Great Bible, Geneva Bible, from AD 1525 to 1558. The Bishop's Bible, 1558 AD to 1611. The King James Bible, AD 1611, and that will be around until the Lord returns. So a consistent Christian would necessarily have to believe what Coverdale said. No. The Holy Ghost is as much the author of it in Hebrew, Greek, French, Dutch, and English as he is in Latin. Coverdale said further in the Coverdale Bible, "The Scripture leaveth no poor man unhelped." And why? Because it is given by the inspiration of God. That's what we've been saying all along. The following is a more detailed list of history of our English Bible, the King James. England was dominated by the Celtic Britons for 500 years before Christ. In marched the Romans in 55 BC, carrying their laws, language, and building byways and roads that would later, in less than 100 years, carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Along with the scriptures to the natives of Britain, many Britons men of the Celtic race were already saved and carried the scriptures throughout England through the first 6 centuries and beyond. The information we have of the trail of the English scriptures in their 3 stages, Old English, Middle English, and Early Modern English, not to mention the Gothic, Anglo-Saxon, to the German, to the English language. All of our information comes to us from Tertullian, the 200s, Gildas, 500s, Bede, 700s, Acer, 800s, William of Malmesbury, the 1100s. The Anglo-Saxon chronicles span from 700 to the 1200s. And then, of course, John Fox in the Fox's Book of Martyr gives much information on the trail of the English Bible. John Fox gives 7 proofs that the gospel of Christ spread out over England through the 6th century. Now, I'm just quickly running through these. You have all of these, so I can go a little quicker. The testimony of Gildas in 633 A.D. said that Britain received the gospel at the time of Tiberius the emperor, under whom Christ suffered. He's mentioned in Luke, remember? And further, he said that Joseph Arimathea, after the dispersion, was sent to Philip the apostle from France of Britain about A.D. 63. Walter Scott confirms that during the reigns of Nero and Domitian, that would be A.D. 54 to 68, and from 81 to 96, by the companions of Paul, while numerous translations of portions of Scripture from the Old Latin Bible circulated during the 2nd century. 2, Tertullian, about 150 A.D. to 230 A.D., testified that the gospel from the apostles, and there reckon up the Medes, Persians, Parthians, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Acts 2 now, Acts chapter 2, Tertullian is backing all of that up. Jewry, Cappadocia, Pontia, Asia, Phrygia, Egypt, Pamphylia, and others, all the way to the Moors, all the borders of Spain, with divers nations of France, parts of Britain that the Romans just couldn't conquer. 3, the third point proves that England had the gospel early on, up to the 6th century, is from Origen, circa about 185 A.D. to 254 A.D. And he said that the faith of Christ was sparsed here in England before the days of Eleuherius, E-L-E-U-H-E-R-I-U-S, in A.D. 180. Fox next cites the testimony of Bede, stated that the first preachers came from Britain, the East, but not from Rome. Number 5, he alleges that the words of Nicephorus from Luke 6:15 and Acts 1:13, that Simon Zealots, that's where he's mentioned, spread the gospel to the West Ocean and brought it to the Isles of Britain. 6, Fox uses the words of Peter Clugny, writing to Bernard and affirmed that the Scots would not allow Rome to have the bishops over them. Finally, 7, the argument adduced is that the King Lucius, King of England at that time, was converted around 180 A.D. What's really neat is that the king became a preacher, teaching and preaching France and teaching Germany and founded many churches. A king. While the Britons ruled, the Christians governed all the passings of the king from A.D. 180 to A.D. 449. J.R. Dorr says that it cannot be fixed when the Holy Scriptures were translated into English exactly. He further states that the missionaries' first responsibility translate Scriptures, the epistles, the Gospels, the vernacular languages of the people. Even though we may not have any extant copies available, doesn't prove that they never existed, just that the Christians memorized them rather than seeing them profane when writing them down. Fox, Bede, Constantius, Gildas, all these men testify the English scriptures were destroyed by Roman Emperor Diocletian in 303 A.D. when it reached the Christians in Britain. We have no Celtic scriptures from before 300 AD. They're destroyed by being burned. What became of those scriptures used in Britain was the first to the 17th century. From the first to the 17th century. Well, Diocletian, I want to mention, just hopping a skip through here because all of these will be online for you. You don't have to take any notes. Diocletian was just one of many Roman emperors who destroyed the scriptures from the apostles' time to AD 303. Angles, Saxons, Jutes, many of them heathen, destroyed them from 303 to 450. The Danes destroyed them from 450 to 800s. Normans destroyed the Bibles from late 800s to 1066. King Henry IV, King Henry V, and the VIII, and finally Queen Mary, are just a few of English monarchs, called for the destruction of English Bibles. Now, I have a list of these that have come through Ripplinger's book. Gildas wrote History of Britain about 546. Christians in England, 597 to 731. Skipping on down, the Worcester's Fragment, copied about 1200, and from a much earlier text. John Wycliffe comes along in 1384, and it lasts to about the 14th, 15th centuries, and even beyond. And that's Middle English. Then that lasts, number 15, in 1455, printing press was invented, Gutenberg. German Bible in 1465, Italy in 1471, France 1474, the Low Countries 77, Bohemia 1488. And these were all before the English Bible was printed, and they were all printed by hand. Martyr John Lambert, burned at the stake in 1538, said that English Christians needed a printed Bible in their language. From 1484 to 1536, God raised up William Tyndale. Tyndale's New Testament, 1525. Soon, thousands of people died for reading English scriptures and reading English scriptures that were typed. The first complete printed Bible was the Coverdale Bible in 1535. Then along came Matthew's Bible in 1537. Then the Great Bible, the one that was printed by Whitchurch, the first authorized Bible to be read in churches in 1539. The Geneva Bible came along in 1560. And then 1568, the Bishop's Bible came along. But then it consummates point number 7 and our final one on your outline, a culmination of Scripture. In January of 1604, the days of 14th, 16th, and 18th of January, at Hampton Court, one of the royal palaces located on the north bank of the Thames River, 15 miles southwest of London. This is where the new translation was proposed by Dr. John Reynolds, a Puritan and Bishop of London. He said, "May your majesty be pleased to direct that the Bible be now translated, such versions as are extant, not answering to the original." Final authority, Christian's Guide to the King James Bible by William P. Grady, page 150. By July of that year, 1604, 54 scholars were selected, and about 47 or 48 actually sat down on the project. It was finally completed, and it was published, the King James Bible, on May the 2nd, 1611. The authorized King James Bible was published, the consummation of Scripture. Now, although many versions of the Bible have been written since then, over 200, we believe, the King James Bible remains the crowning achievement of Bible translation in the English language. We need to close, so side note here, it's an English Bible we've been going over. It's a brief history. We have the English time, Big Ben in England, English Empire, Great Britain, the sun never set on it, English temperature, that's the British thermal unit. Then there's the English longitude, latitude, given by the equator and England. The English longitude is Greenwich, England. That zero line runs right down it. Absolute location is English location. What's the English language? It's a universal language. The English Bible, King James Bible. It's from Britain. It's the English Bible, only one on the market. The King James Bible was read on the moon in 1968 by Apollo 8 crew. And he read Genesis 1:1-13 on Christmas Eve. I was sitting in my living room and remember hearing that as a little boy. The English language is used in more than 70 countries as the official language. It's the international aviation. The language of 54% of the internet is English. The language of music, film industry, international organizations, with 85% using English as their official language. And about 33% of the English exclusively by OPEC, ASEAN, EFTA, official language of many of the world's largest corporations, such as Lufthansa, Lenovo, Honda, Nokia, Microsoft, SAP, Renault, and Samsung. The language of science. Did you know that more than 75% of scientific papers are published in English? Some disciplines as high as 90%. The official language of the European Central Bank currently is English. Currently, 1.5 billion English learners, and the British Council estimates that that will be 2 billion by the year 2020. Well, it's purified seven times from Psalm 12:6. Tyndale's Bible, Matthew's Bible, Coverdale's Bible, the Great Bible by Whitchurch, Geneva Bible, the Bishop's Bible, and the King James Bible. Well, this concludes the brief history of the English Bible in this session. And we have the final exam, which is online, that you can take and send that in. Before long, we'll probably go ahead and post the answers likewise online as time does permit us to do so. Well, we conclude now with our brief study of the history of the English Bible. This is Dr. Bobby Adams, Pastor Berea Baptist Church. This is the Berea Baptist Bible Institute under its authority. We thank you for taking this course. Hope that you've learned much from it, and you'll pursue it even more so on your own. Thank you, and keep on with your King James Bible, the only English Bible on the market. Because, where is it from? It is from England. It's a British Bible, and thank God for it.